Welcome to the Fund2000.com Real Estate Podcast. My name is Chuck Hamm, and today we're going to deal with a couple of updates in the industry dealing with insurance and second, the NAR Realtor lawsuit. Well, first let's talk about insurance. It's been a problem for several months at least, but actually more. We get updates constantly from the industry professionals, from through the news, through our own clients, and my interest in this subject actually increased quite a bit last month because I had two different transactions. There were very different transactions with very similar insurance premiums. One was a $1 million house in Ventura County with an insurance premium of under $2,000, just under, you know, like $1,800, $1,900. And it didn't seem like a bad policy. It seemed pretty normal. I mean, the terms seemed pretty similar to this other transaction that we had at the same time for a $200,000 house in Bakersfield, California, which is in Kern County, completely different county, but admittedly with a lot more fire hazard risk. The policy on that house was the same price. And it blew me away because you have a $1 million house and a $200,000 house, and they're paying the exact same amount of money for their premiums with very similar terms, deductible and, you know, what is being insured. The difference was the amount of risk. And it made me want to look more into this insurance problem because it's not the first time. We're in real estate. We've been doing sales for over 20 years now. And on the mortgage side, we look at insurance all the time. Or if you're in HOAs, homeowners associations, we look at insurance all the time. Because every single year or every single transaction that has a mortgage is there's going to be some kind of insurance discussion annually or every other year. You know, it's annually with HOAs. You have to get a renewal on your homeowners association insurance policies. If you have earthquake, it's very expensive. If it's just fire and hazard insurance, then you save money, but those rates are going up. And today I got an update from one of our insurance companies that was basically notifying all the boards of directors of local homeowners associations around California, in California, about the condition of the insurance market for HOAs. And the, you know, a lot of it is stuff we've already been seeing in the news. State Farm has begun contacting clients that their policies will not be renewed. Allstate is not renewing policies in 2024. Farmers is not writing any new policies and may not be renewing some policies. So you have this mixture of the big companies both not writing new policies, they're not renewing as well. And then the ones that are renewing are increasing premiums. It could be 200 to 300% more than the previous year. It's crazy. So the risk is the main problem. They see increased risk. They also see increased liabilities, and that's what kind of very curious about. So I'm going to be talking more about this in the future with on future podcast episodes. I'm trying to get insurance people. I wanted to get my real estate agents on here talking with us about, you know, their own experience with insurance and their clients, our clients. But it's a real problem. So my quick research is you got a few different causes here for the increase in insurance premiums. One is you have weather events, but we've always had weather events. So they say that there's more weather events, whether it's hurricanes on the East Coast or fires on the West Coast, earthquakes, tornadoes, whatever they may be. They say there's more of them. They also say there's an increase in fraud. Both of these things together contribute to more insurance losses. And it, apparently those things are much more. Another thing that we don't hear much about is called reinsurance. Reinsurance is insurance for insurance. So, insurance, when they have to, all the firms, whenever they have to insure against losses, they have to pay out money. So they insure themselves against the possibility that they're going to have to pay money on their claims, which they are under contract to do. And because of these increased risks and liabilities and losses, reinsurance is looking, at these very same risks, climate issues. But it's not just climate, and this is where the discussion gets more interesting. I think a lot of people want you to believe that it's only about catastrophes, natural hazards, but that's not the case. A lot of this has to do with policy problems, and I really started getting interested in this a couple years ago. I think it was 2019, after some big wildfires in California, when PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, was held liable in court for some big fires that caused a lot of damage. And the lawsuit issue was whether the ratepayers could or would have to pay. I think, well, one of the issues was whether the ratepayers could take on the liability and the cost of this lawsuit. And as it turns out, the utility was held liable for the damage that the utility costs, or the ratepayers were held liable for the damage that the utility cost. The cause of the fire in this case was determined to be power lines that PG&E and landowners, or one of them, I think it was just PG&E, or maybe it was a comparative, they were both proportionately responsible to some degree for the cause of this wildfire, having to do with power lines not being maintained properly, too close to trees and things that ended up catching fire. So, because the ratepayers and the utility itself could be held liable, everybody's costs went up. And previous to that, it seemed that they were not being held liable for these things. I don't know if how it was working, but my understanding is that has increased quite a bit certain types of insurance premiums, such as fire, because we still have a whole lot of these power line issues. We still have a whole lot of this potential wildfire catastrophe every single year, just because of man-made causes that we know exist. So, I think that has been an issue. But this reinsurance thing goes into the discussion about it, goes into COVID, the pandemic, and our policies that resulted from the pandemic, the things that the government did that caused insurance costs to increase. There's been a ton of claims. If you read the appellate court updates, like I do pretty much daily on certain in certain industries, the courts are still dealing with COVID policy responses, insurance claims that resulted from the losses that were that businesses experienced during the pandemic. And we're not talking about people getting sick. We're just talking about the business losses from being closed. We're also talking about inflation. Now, this inflation is a different discussion, but inflation resulted from the government response to COVID. The government printed lots of money. The Fed had a major stimulus response. Actually, the federal government, I should say, had a major stimulus response, or response through financial stimulus into the economy. Printing money is what they say, but the manipulation of interest rates, the purchasing of bonds, I mean, there's all kinds of monetary policy things that the government has done that has caused the dollar to become inflated, and that has affected reinsurance costs. They also talk about climate change and natural catastrophes and that kind of thing. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was war. So reinsurance is affected by war and their perceived risk of war. Is the United States going to experience war? Are insured policyholders in the United States that these companies are covering, are they affected by war? And the answer is yes, because the supply chain issues, because of what's happening in Europe with the Ukraine war, the potential for war with China and Russia, Taiwan, Korea, South Korea, and how all this stuff affects trade, and I'm sure supply chain, and then quite a few other things. So reinsurance is what they call the silent stakeholder in insurance, and it affects rates. So anyways, it's a very interesting discussion. Some things that you can do about it. Well, get prepared. You know, if you think you're going to need insurance, a new policy or renewal, start looking now. Don't wait. If you find a good premium policy rate, it's basically a contract, get it signed now, bind it up now, you know, get your insurance binder, commit to it, in other words. But you know, in as sales agents, as real estate sales agents, we a lot of times, most of the time, have to get our clients pre-approved for a purchase, and we start talking with them about that early in the purchase process. It's like one of the first things we do before we even start looking at houses. Theoretically, it should be. And what we're finding is that even before, or even usually, we wouldn't talk about insurance until later in this process, because it was been so easy to get, and it was just something. It was fairly predictable what the cost was going to be. We could put in 0.0035% into our calculator with the purchase price. In other words, 0.35% of the purchase price was the formula we would use to figure out what we think the insurance premium was going to cost on a particular single family residence. And that would always be a high estimate. Now it's not enough. And that's the thing that bothers me. We don't know. We don't know what the insurance is going to cost. We can't even come up with a formula that's predictable from one property to the next. We have to be looking at the wildfire maps, the flood maps. We have to be looking at these different things, and we're not even insurance professionals. So the advice here is get your insurance agent involved into the conversation at an early stage. You have to know where the property is, so give them a property address and ask them, you know, what is the insurance premium going to cost? Because we're going to need a mortgage on this place. You could always get a pre-sale inspection. So if you're representing a seller, you can encourage them to get a pre-sale inspection and fill out some property disclosure forms and talk about claims against the property so that we can know what claims are going to come up in the process of getting the insurance policy. That wraps it up for insurance. The idea is insurance is an issue. Start talking about it early. It's going to be costly in most areas, especially California, and you don't want to put it off till the last minute, especially if you're in mortgages. When we're dealing with a mortgage, let's get the insurance done early. Let's move on now to the NAR lawsuit, realtor lawsuit. This is called Sitzer Burnett. And there's really no change except one big change that hasn't really materialized in the sense that the judge doesn't sign this settlement agreement. That's the big development until about August of this year, we're expecting. And the settlement basically says that there will be no requirement for listing agents to offer a commission to the buyer's agent. And we already knew that was going to be the case. MLSs and all of us agents already quit putting that on that was the issue in the lawsuit. There's some other things. They're agreeing to a limited liability against the MLSs and big firms. They're, instead of $1 billion, I think, or over $1 billion, it was reduced to less than $500 million, less than $500 million. But those are the two big things. I mean, there's probably some other issues that I'm missing here, but it's not even going to get signed until August. But it's no surprise. The NAR lawsuit, everybody's talking about it and how it's going to save people lots of money. I personally don't see it saving lots of money yet. Maybe there will be a little bit of an attrition rate as sellers and buyers get used to using realtors that are aware of this lawsuit, as sellers and buyers become aware of this lawsuit, and the big firms can no longer control the narrative. The big firms are still going to try to control the narrative. That's the big issue, is they are going to try to say, well, you still need to offer a buyer's agent a commission. And they're going to do that so that they can double end the transaction. They're going to do that so this is how they've always made money. They're going to find ways to keep doing it. The one change that could occur and will eventually occur is that the smaller firms and the more competitive firms, the ones that are trying to compete for your business, they will make sure that you're aware. And I think everybody is actually already becoming aware, but they will teach you clients and agents about how to negotiate real estate commissions. You always could have negotiated real estate commissions. That was always the case. But now this lawsuit, it takes away in the narrative something that they used to say before that they can no longer say, which is that the MLS requires the buyer commission be offered on the MLS. Now, it's still not a big deal because now, even though now you don't have to put an offer of a buyer agent commission on the MLS, even before you could still have put $1 or $10 or $100 instead of 2.5 or 3%. You didn't have to put 2.5 or 3%. So this is the example. This is why I've never really liked the big firms: Coldwell Banker, Berkshire Hathaway before Prudential, C21. You know, these big firms, that's what they're doing. This is the trick. They want you to think that you have to offer a buyer's agent commission, and not only that it needs to be a certain amount, and the only reason is because they will profit from it. They have been manipulating the rules for a long time. They will continue to manipulate the rules until people start getting serious and realizing that you don't need those guys. You know, years ago, I went independent, 2008. Previous to that, I worked for RE/MAX, and prior to that, I worked for a Coldwell Banker. So I got familiar with how these guys work, and I got familiar with all the training that we would get, which was basically designed to pay the firm big commissions, double commissions, not just the buyer side, not just the seller side. Even if they only got the seller side or the buyer side, the big firms were still profiting quite a bit. So I decided, you know what, I'll go independent and be able to save my clients money. Sometimes I won't even have to save my clients money. They'll be happy to just get my services because I'm at least as I've always been every bit as good as any other agent out there. And I've gotten, you know, better over the years, and I've always thought I was better anyways, but it didn't matter. You could be competitive. You could discount. You didn't have to discount. My clients who asked for discounts or where I offered discounts, I always did it and was still fine. I always kept a low overhead and didn't need big inflated commissions. I never had a big office and never had, you know, a bunch of huge overhead for the business. Didn't branding, I don't pay anything to a big franchise. It's low overhead. I think the NAR lawsuit is a whole lot of interesting discussion, but it's a discussion that should have been going on a long time ago. I think it shows what monopoly exists out there. I think it shows that realtors have not really been looking out for home ownership interests the way and property rights the way they should be. They've been focused on monopolies, and there's still more. This is not the only issue, I promise you. Every single year, there's additional issues that I have to look at as a broker and owner of our small firm, and it concerns me. I am a member. We are a member of California Association of Realtors and National Association of Realtors and our local associations. So it's a big concern when these things happen. And I'm glad it's happening because it brings transparency to the process. It helps us have a more honest conversation on things we should have been talking about in the first place in a more honest way, which is the commissions. For us, it's not a big change. Now, the concern, one of the concerns that it's a legitimate concern is, but it again, it's really no, there's really no change. But one of the things that is kind of a legitimate factor is VA loans. So veterans. You know, if you're a veteran, you've put in your time in the military and you're entitled in most cases to a VA loan, which is a great deal. It's 100% financing. We offer VA loan financing. We treat our veterans right. If you don't have your certificate of eligibility, we get it for you. We can do that. It's a pretty simple step for a mortgage lender because we get set up with the VA directly to be able to process that. For you guys, it's kind of difficult because you don't have access to the same system as we do. You might, but I don't think you do. Most of our veterans don't know how to get there. They can call a phone number, and if you have to call a phone number, then who knows how long it's going to take. It's a bureaucracy. VA is, it is a bureaucracy. Our system gets us through the bureaucracy unless there's an issue. Most of them, the certificate of eligibilities are just automated. No bureaucracy. We just get it. All we need is your date of discharge, your personal information. We take that down and we process it and we get it for you. And then we take your mortgage loan application. We get you qualified for a VA loan. There are costs to any mortgage loan, including VA loans. And one of the rules for VA loans is you as a VA, as a veteran borrower, cannot pay the realtor buyer side commission or any commission. That's where this whole thing comes in. So it's 100% financing, low cost loan, not very, and it's designed to protect VA veterans. But what if you're in a market where it's going to be very hard for you to negotiate that the seller pays for your buyer agent commission? You're not going to get that protection like others get. If you had an FHA loan, if you had a conventional loan, you wouldn't have the restriction that VA loans are going to have. So it's really still a market question. It's always been a market question. There's no change, but this discussion is going to exacerbate the problem that already existed for veterans. In our market where we are in California, not a big deal. We can negotiate that the seller pay the commission. It happens all the time. It's already been happening. It's not going to be a big change. But when you start getting into competitive offers, or when you start getting into a more seller's market and it's competitive offers and the seller is deciding, well, I don't want to pay extra costs, and I have side by side two different offers. One is a conventional loan or an FHA loan, and the other is a VA loan, and they're both the same price, but one of them is going to require that I, as a seller, pay more commission to, for example, in this case, the buyer's agent, the VA borrower's buyer agent. Then there, it's the veteran is not getting that protection there. So I hope that they do a rule change for VA loans, and this problem goes away, so that sellers don't take on that burden, or so that VA buyers don't have this problem, so that they can negotiate just like other buyers negotiate. That's really the biggest issue that I see. I mean, the other issues, they're really not new. This is not a new issue either. So our firm sold 2000.com. And our agents, we save you money, and we can help you negotiate and navigate this commission situation. You'll most likely will always probably still be able to negotiate buyer side commissions through the seller. You'll never have to pay money up front. It's always paid through the close of escrow. The mortgage loans always accept, almost always accept real estate commissions to be financed, except for in this case, the VA loan does not accept the buyer agent commission to be financed, unless it's negotiated to be paid by the seller, and then it does. So it's, but like I say, it's not a huge deal. A lot of people are making a big deal out of this, and it's not a huge change. What changes do exist, we're looking at it, and it's not a, not something that we cannot overcome. So if you have any questions, email's the best, chuck@fund2000.com, FUND2000.com. Send me your phone number. I'll call you up, or we can meet in my office, or I can respond via email. We can talk about insurance, and we can talk about real estate commissions for a listing, for buyer side agents, whatever you want to do. We'll be happy to help you. Thanks for listening to the fund2000.com real estate podcast, and have a great one.